This is Jeff Collier. I'm sitting here with Mr. Joe Check. Today's date is July 22nd, 1975. I'm working with the Youngstown State University Oral History Program in the master's degree. The time is approximately 10 a.m. in the morning, and we're sitting at his place at Gypsy Lane Manor on the north side in Youngstown, Ohio. Mr. Check, could you tell me a little bit about your education, where you were born, raised, and educated?
Well, I was born in Camel, October 27, 1908, and I graduated from Peniel High School, and I was out of school for about a year and a half, and I was got associated with the YMCA, and some sports, basketball, in which we were playing a couple of teams, and out of the stands, a gentleman came out and asked me if I wanted to go to college. And being a depression time and not working, I was supposed to be an apprentice machinist. Mm-hmm. So I said yes, and I never even knew that he was serious until I got the telegram the next day. And then I ignored that, and I got a second telegram, and I went down to see our superintendent of Campbell School, Mr. Corson, who wrote down his testament and found out that it was the real thing. So then I went down there for MEU, and I had a scholarship in basketball and football, and then I developed in baseball. And Stetson University is located in Deland, Florida, and that's where I got started, and I got my degree in physical education.
What year did you graduate from Stetson?
I think it was in 35.
When you graduated, did you come right back to the
Youngstown? Yeah, I came back to Youngstown, and things were really rough. I got a job at the sheet and tube, digging coal dust out of the boxcar for the boiler house. And the reason I got that was because when I came back, sheet and tube won the basketball team, and I got the job through basketball, and it was paying 37 cents an hour. And then our team developed into a pretty potent power. So I got promotions from digging in the buck dust to assistant boiler repairman to boilerman. And then later on, the county department thought that I shouldn't be working in the mills. I should go over to the county department, start there for Mr. Johnson, which we did. And that team developed into one of the semi-pro teams around Youngstown. It was where Sweet and Ray Sweet, we got these boys all from Western tennis.
Yes.
So while I was doing that, I still didn't lose my interest in the YMCA, and I used to get out of there as a senior leader. And then I started working as part-time. I started picking up weights. And I thought, well, there's nothing like going down there after work.
Working.
Had an understanding wife, so I got to be working down here part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And then through process elimination of different openings down here, because most of the fellows they hired as physical directors were there for a while, and money was good, so they just left. And I got down there as a on part-time basis. And later on, they asked me if I would work, you know, regularly, which I did, and I started my career. I started out as a assistant physical director, and then different challenges opened up, and they put me in different positions, and I was fortunate enough to produce, and I'm just saying that as a, not bragging, but my career was a terrific experience, and I enjoyed it, and the biggest sorrow I had that it had to end. Kind of my age.
Mm-hmm.
I met some wonderful staff people down there, and the youngsters that I've met through my association of Alliance today are dentists, doctors, professional people, and other occupational people that you know that you meet on the streets and they're in their 30s, 40s, you know, feel like It is.
Makes you feel proud.
Well, it makes me feel good and proud, though, because I had the privilege of working with him. Mm-hmm.
Did you, when you were growing up in Camel, did you used to go to the YMCA?
No. When I was a youngster in Camel, all we had what they call suburbs around here now. And all we had was trees and open fields, and we used to play cowboys and Indians and playing baseball, skin of diamonds, and go out to these ponds and swim and pick blackberries, and we had a wonderful life. I mean, we had, there was no such thing as, radio or anything else, but we entertained ourselves, and I had excellent parents. I mean, they're from European extraction, and they were disciplined, and they're good church people, and this is the way I was raised. And I didn't even know at that time that there's such a thing as another town outside of Youngstown, which is now Camel. And first car I ever saw that I was astounded, you know, was something had run. And Camel was a very hilly town, and playing there, running up and down the hills, we developed an awful good stamina, good body, and then we started in athletics, and we started in baseball, and basketball, and football was the latest thing that ever came around, and I only played, maybe a quarter of a season before, graduated. Mm-hmm. So.
How was it, was your first experience of being away at home when you went to Stetson?
Well, when I went to Stetson, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even, when I drove down there, I wouldn't even eat in a restaurant where there's a girl waitress. I mean, I used to stutter an awful lot, you know what I mean? And this is an amazing thing, stuttering and being, I was backwards and everything else. And when I went to Stetson, the first place they took me was the men and women who were man and wife, and they put me table to eat with them, and I was so shocked. I wasn't even eat anything, and then later on, and they put me with the at a regular table, and I wouldn't eat there. So they finally, I wound up eating with the help. Mm-hmm. But I got over it, and you wouldn't believe it, but that's the truth.
When you graduated and you came back to Youngstown, was that your first affiliation with the Y and playing basketball and things? Is that how you started going down to the Y?
No, before I went to college, I went there.
Oh, okay.
When I was in, it was East Youngstown, Camel at that time. We had a pretty good high school team. Only a couple of boys that I played against independently, like Roy Mills and Nate Copeland, two boys invited me down to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where I started, and then,
okay,
then when the depression came, a fella came out of the stands and asked me if I was going to go away to school, and I thought it was just a joke, so I said, sure, and I wasn't working, so I went away.
When you, could you tell me a little bit about when you started working part-time at the YMCA? When you worked part-time, was it strictly with the in the youth, as you mentioned, or was it in physical? Or was it both? Or?
Well, when I went down there, the first, you mean when I was working part-time or before that? Well, before that, I went down as a leader.
Could you start there and tell me, as a senior leader, some of the things that you did, and also, if you can remember, some of the people that were down there. I guess Paul Davies was down there at that time?
Yeah, Paul Davies at that time was down there, and, Aki Panier.
Mm-hmm. What did Aki Panier do down there?
Aki Panier was a physical director.
That's what I thought.
At that time.
Okay.
And there's previous to that, there was Hartman, Al Fairfield, and Jimmy Ryan, and I just can't remember all of them. It's been so many years ago. And that's because I've been in Y work for about close to 30 years now. And do you get your memory?
I'm sure you remember many things. You start delving back, because you probably don't sit down many times and think about things,
Uh-huh.
It's all there.
Rod Clark, pardon me. Rod Clark was the physical director before I went away to school. Mm-hmm.
As what was the Y like in the time when you started?
Well, the YMCA when I started was a hub of Youngstown as far as the recognition, interest, and everything else was concerned. You didn't have all these other social agencies and church programs where they used to frown on having dances at churches and different clubs, and everything used to revolve around the YMCA, and it used to be quite an honor for anybody to be selected as a membership drive chairman or a layman, and they used to get an awful lot of recognition in town about the YMCA. And if you dig back into their past volumes of history of the Y and the people who served it, you would find that they were all the top executives and financial people around town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for instance, in 1929, they had a meeting, and they raised over $1 million. Now, that's in 29, and this is where the Youngstown College First World Building was.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's when they added the other addition onto the to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And now, with the progress and everything else, all those people like Mr. Warner and Mr. Campbell and all those local people who used to be presidents and Youngstowners, what I'd call it, real citizens who used to be dedicated people to the Y, are all gone. So you got these outside executives, and actually the interest in the Y is not there like it used to be. There was time when she and two used to give X amount of dollars just like that, and same with Republic Steel when they have the Youngstown people running these companies, mm-hmm. and these smaller companies the same way, like the Cushwas and the vendors and these other people. And all those fellows are gone, so their contact was with the Y and in downtown, and now people are growing up. You got the social clubs and country clubs, and there's too many outside interests. You know where you can definitely get.
Yeah.
Thank God we got fellows like Roland and Young and some of the fellows that are on the board, if you'll check on the board, that are still dedicated. And
now those people are Youngstown people too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like Bob Roland.
Oh, yeah, they're all Youngstown people.
Yeah.
Dr. Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And, just go down there and get the, you get down the line, get your board members and look them up on what kind of positions they have, and you'll find out that they're all, most of them just come up through the Y. Like Bob Roland used to be used to be a leader.
That's
and
right.
He hasn't changed when he was small, because he's a fine leader, 5 cents, but they didn't a leader. So.
He's in banking too.
Yeah.
When you know it.
But, and you'll find that many boys that came through the Y today throughout the world, country, you'll find that their affiliation with the YMCA has been very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, your personal contact in the YMCA was real close with the staff people, and you were a name. And you always latched on to somebody, whether you had trouble or what it was. I'm just talking about my time.
Yeah.
I can't compare them down there because I haven't been down there.
Mm-hmm. When did you first, you ran Camp Fitch for a good number of years. When did you first become affiliated with Camp Fitch?
Well, I got affiliated with Camp Fitch in 1949 when Mr. Smith was up there as a boys director and camp director, and they ran into some kind of a program difficulties. His idea was throwing everybody together, regardless of age, everybody on that playground.
Mm-hmm.
Played ball with a 9-year-old, 15-year-old,
mm-hmm.
which didn't. This is this new philosophy in boys' work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what happened, but anyhow, Mr. Davies went to Jim Waring, who was my boss, head physical director.
His name was Waring?
Waring, Jim
Waring,
yeah. And Jim Waring right now is secretary out of Waco, one of the greatest guys in my work, and I learned more from him than I did from, I'd say, 10 years of college. I mean, his philosophy about the YMCA, we'll do that later on. So, went up there, and then we organized a program for our teenagers,
Yeah.
and this was only on all of my function one. Then later on, when Mr. Smith was blessed away or whatever happened, Dick all shook over, if you remember.
No, I don't remember that.
Well, Dick got in some kind of difficulties up there, and I was going down the Y to get my vacation check, and I ran into Mr. Davies, and he said, where are you going? I said, go up to get my check, I'm going on vacation. He said, don't know you're not. He said, you're going up to Camp Page. I said, why? And he told me, I said, you're on the camp. Well, Dick off in the meantime, I don't know what happened up there, but he got an interview to go to some other YMCA, I don't know what it was, but there was a lot of friction down there. Them or whatever it was, so I went up there and I stayed up for 1950. That was the way I went up there. And it was rough up there because I had to undo all these blanket parties. And, you know, the leaders.
A lot of
good
times, sure. I remember them well.
And then when I went up there, naturally, I had to face a whole bunch because all these kids were all loyal to Dick. It wasn't my doing that I was sent up there. So, what's her name? It's Esther Hobbs. A girl with a head of hog. I can't think of her name. Put them all under the banana tree. You know, outside the staff hall.
Yes.
And I, fortunately, I had eight of my leaders up there. They told me what the scope was, that the kids were going to go on strike and it was home and all this and that. So I said, I'm all done. And I said, look, I said, some fortune. And I said, that I was sent up here. And I said, it's not my doing. And I said, I came up here because I was sent up here and there was a job to be done. And I said, I understand a lot of rumors. And I said, I don't want to pinpoint it to any particular person, but I said, you youngsters, when you came up here, you signed an agreement that you were, fulfill your duty. And I said, I know most of your parents, and I said, if you think that there's been an injustice done or dislike for me or anybody else, I said, just say it right now. And I said, in the meantime, you give me your names, you don't want, not that I'd call your parents, you want to pick up my phone, and I said, why? And I said, you can go up there right now, and I said, the truck will be up in an hour, pick up your bags and things and bring it down, and then I said, we'll start calling your parents. I said, go home. I said, don't forget, you're just letting down a bunch of youngsters. Now, this is, you know. And I said, no, if you want to do it, fine. Well, it's fine.
Nobody took it, huh?
Nobody took it except a couple of those hot staff. And I had it out with them, and said, everything turned out all right. I had to get rid of two of the staff people, of course, because I had to be walking out. Got a big crane out there and put those screws in for us, no charge. And same with those flagpoles, 100-foot flagpoles, where they put that thing up. I don't know if you were up at the time that flagpoles were sitting that one up flat.
No.
Well, I mean, these are the things that are missing today that you didn't have then. But fortunately, right now, they've got a camp committee that actually is a fellow that is still from the old school that are in Glenville, Jack. I go out of contact. doing a terrific job, and we're doing a lot of things. I don't know if this is helping any, but.
Sure. What about the physical aspect of the camp in 1949? How?
Oh, we didn't have very much. If you recall, we used to have to throw our own tents up there. And kings and queens, if you recall, the old-fashioned ones, and remember how the block was approached. And it was just very primitive. I mean, this was the nice part of it. You know, we felt like camp.
That's right.
And we just had a good time. In those days, if you could come up, when I first went up there, the dad used to come up. I'll show you how things changed up there. They used to come up and they'd all get out of the car. Mama started fixing a bed. Papa get out there with a baseball glove and just playing catch. A lot of activities, you know what I mean? And as time went on, what happened? Well, towards the 60s, when I left, before I left up there, you see a father come out, he landed a tree. And at one time, you had a ball game going, and you only had five gloves that you could have brought up. I mean, the contract between the change of light was just, you know,
sure,
what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And you had very little knowledge about any of the sports. Television, I'm thinking about how these things change, you know. And in the beginning, well, when you were up there, she just going out and get some tan and play, and she used to be mischievous and raise tan. She used to have a lot of fun. And now they come up with, they really want to take off the pants, I mean, the blue jeans, they want to sit in the tent, be funny cooking, and talk to them, and you know, how you, the rules used to be doing activities, everybody out of the tent.
That's right.
Well, there's a contrast. Now, I don't know how it is, because I can't say, because I haven't been up there since I left three times. I don't know if it can be 10 times better.
When you stopped going up to Camp Fitch in 1960, what were your duties at the Y previous to that?
Oh, I was, I was physical director, head of the physical department, head of the YEC. And that was it.
Well, when did you
move? Executive director of the YF Club.
Okay. When did you move into that position at the athletic club?
Well, let me see. I think in about 1990. Bill Tomlin, when they made the new addition, I just forget the exact date. When they had this new addition, Bill Tomlin was the head physical director, and he moved up in that position, and I was made. Physical record. And then Bill, he just couldn't, in a way, see at that time, I mean, I had 150 members.
Who was running the YAC at that time?
Bill Tomlin. It was,
okay.
Well, because when they had the old YAC, he only had one physical record. That was downstairs, if you remember. Well, he was in charge of everything. No one went upstairs, he just didn't. He couldn't go out and sell, that's what it was, you know what I mean? And he just got in and took a sitter, but he asked if he needed that job. So then what happened, I knew everybody in town and I used to go around, so they took positions. I went up to YAC and Bill went back to
physical department.
Physical department. Then later on when he left, but he was almost nervous, right? And, after that, then I was in charge of that, physical director, and then when they had a little lower in boys division, I had, you know, little of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, had the pool and everything else. But
who were the people that came in that you were training at that time? Was Dick Bennett there at that time?
There was Dick Bennett, Bob Doyle, Brown, and Bob Murray.
Oh, yes, Maurice.
Yeah, and that's for King Norris to physical. And then from there on, they had a lot of leaders that came up here, like Stretch. You know, remember Stretch?
Yep.
Yeah, and I can name a whole bunch of them were down there after that. So. But they all turned out. Everyone knows kids are really excited because everybody went out and they're top. Doyle, you know, he's the head of downtown Brown. Brown's got that fan.
very well.
Yeah, I know, this is what I'm talking about. You know, all my kids, and they were what I call dedicated fellows. I mean, the time when I've been feeling the kid was individual, every time he went to the walk, I mean, maybe walk line, maybe 50, 50, I mean, maybe with Hobby or Doyle or Stretch or Mari, you know what I mean? And this is what makes my mind feel. If a kid's got to model himself after somebody, and if a kid, somebody shows interest in the youngster, he's gonna really, come around and respond to what I'm trying to say.
Awesome. You had mentioned something about philosophies earlier. In your, when you started with the YMCA, how would you say that the philosophy then has changed with now? And also, if you could think of perhaps over the years, did you see a gradual changing over the years?
Let me get back to that. When I went in there with a pension, like everybody else, you know, I was a sports player, it felt like it was basketball, and then I had a big time and everything else. I'm not talking about it. I wasn't all the way off my mind, but then, fortunately, you know, in Detroit, a physical man, and at that time I was just working part time, and he was the one that asked me to come on full time. So in the meantime, Ron, before he did, he sat down and he talked to me, and his philosophy was that you were there as kind of a member, and the members weren't there to help you. And I always pointed out to him, like, he could be an example for the young children, everybody has membership with an individual, not as a group. And no matter what it was, you were supposed to take care of your program.
Mm-hmm.
And not by the hour, but by the time you finish your program. And we went on, and I started training. And don't forget, I started in the Y. My 30s. And every day he watched me work, and he called me and he'd say, Joe, now you did this different, you do it better. And like if you had a program, you know, you were supposed to be on that floor 15 minutes, floor with the clip and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you were supposed to walk through the gym and say, hi Jeff, I'm Joe Jeff, I'm the director, is there something I can do for you? And if you have youngsters come in there, like the first time youngsters came in, you should walk up and say, my name's Joe, and talk to them. And if you see a youngster that was shy, you didn't walk up to him in front of everybody and try to make a big fuss over, but in a quiet way where he wasn't put on the spot, where everybody would be watching him. And then the other thing was, like organizing games. I'm just talking about the kid that was bad kid. Like if he was a big fat kid, like the kid said, well, we don't want, you know.
Sure.
So you don't, I never let us choose sides. You just line them up, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you line them up, and if any of the lines are off balance, you never put the weak kid and put it in the strong one. You always put the strong one to balance it out, you know what I mean? So the emphasis was on the better boy, and not on the youngster. Yeah, little things like that. And then you had if you got these once or twice or three times you get somebody with ordinary something and get along and talk for them and, you know, try to reason with him and get around his way of thinking that he wasn't part of the gang, that to be part of the gang you gotta do this, you know. He worked with me for a long time. He watched me, and he never told me never any good. It was good, but, you know.
To be better.
And then the same way with the help. Now, and he said, just put yourself in their place. He told me, you want to be free. And he said, the janitor, the man at the basement desk, is as important as you are. And when you're selling membership, that's just part of it. System is if you service that number and make sure you got to know they didn't show up to kind of contact me. So we were brought to see what I went by, and it turned out pretty good. And I wouldn't say that sometimes I get, you know, frustrated and things, but you don't. And I always say, you got right to be in a wire worker, or whatever, we'd be back to sheet two. Every time I ask my question, then I'm not.
That would be it.
That would be it. And the other thing, German was working with the staff. You know, and, like the dad and old man, we used to have a little bit of, well, I like the system we had better than you ever did, because each department had to be responsible for their own department, you know what I mean? And then they went to the general secretary. And this way, well, naturally everybody was jealous of their own department. And they were going to work at it, but they, you know, be on top. And there'd be conflicts and little discussions, I mean, like in anything else. Never meet the eye and eye with that. There was a group, but I think we had a terrific staff. And I don't think I'd cut that staff. They had,
Sure, I know, because.
And the nice part about it was they're all local boys. And sometimes it's a dangerous thing. In your bread too much, you know what I'm talking about? And that's a case of the fortune that the boys that he had were all good Christian kids, which I must do a lot.
Yeah, that's one thing that Steve Hunnicky made mention of. He said he was very proud of the fact that the people that were on the staff that you're talking about, plus the more executive directors of YMCA.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah, and the big thing you want to remember, too, that they really worked hard for it. And like I said, if the staff's good, they make you look like a living thing. If the staff's not good, it's the truth. And everybody used to look at each other, and if I needed help, sure, bad. You should have staff membership drive, boys program, going out to these fun trips, and what do you know? Everybody was bullying us. And it wasn't 40 hours a week or 48 hours a week or something, you know, it was you need help, fine. And fine. Just like your mother and the rest of the people who had wives. They understood and tolerated it. And it was a good thing to do. So anybody that's in wine work can't not be able to socialize, you know. And another thing is you've got to conduct yourself outside. Well, I'll give you an example. I used to referee a lot, you know that. Thanks to help my angel and one thing another. And after ball games, used to go to a place they used to call shortstop. Of course, I never touched up there, and they don't do round or famous, but I'd go up there with Rollins and a whole bunch. And one day I walked in there, and every time they used to sit down, I always used to order milk just to antagonize me. And not only that, but I always used to do it so everybody could see this. But anyhow, I walked in and a couple of guys said, "Hey, Joe," and I said, "How's my kid doing down the Y?" And that struck me funny. I thought to myself, here I am, YMCA guy. And in those days, now I'm talking about it. Here I am in the church, and they're asking me about their kid. And what's the think of it? So I never went down to the milk. And of course, now, I think they're all a little different, I mean, as far as drinking and everything else.
When a couple of questions about both Camp Fitch and the YC. You took each of them over, and they developed into very successful programs at the YMCA. What did you try to do or do differently that made them successful?
Nothing. The only thing that in Camp Fitch, the only thing we did was get the kids to be dedicated to the kids at camp and make sure that the kids had a good time, and they were, if they learned something, to get along with each other, you know, socially, and pick the right leaders. And I mean, I don't take any credit for that. It was the young kids in those days, well, just like yourself, you know, real well. We used to have meetings, organizations, and we had good staff people like Doyle and Johnny and these fellows. And then as the program grew good, more kids started going home, spreading the word. They get more cancer. more cancer to gut, better we got financially. And then the biggest thing that triggered cancer was Mary Cole. I don't know if you were up there at Hater Cooking, remember?
And Summer.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying, how she got to make donuts. She went way down the duty. And I don't care what you say, no matter how bad the weather is or anything else, if you keep those kids a good year. And they enjoy it, you know, you know, 2/3 of the battle is won. So you can't, I was up there when I first went up there, we had a couple hours of cooking. And, you know, well, it was terrible. The meals were lousy and the kids were smoking. The first thing they go home, Mama would say, what is it? How's the meal? Well, and don't forget, when a youngster goes up there, that youngster should be treated just like your own. That's the way I always tell about everyone else. And that the person comes in, I'm sure they can't. That's their job, you know.
Sure.
Nobody else.
That's right.
And the same, it's the same thing with down where we're down at the, down at the infirmary. Every youngster that came in, I didn't care how scratchy it was. I had the nurse order when somebody came down there after dark, I knocked on my door, and I wanted to see that youngster, you know what I mean? And we had a couple of broken arms and things like that, and we were fortunate enough to have Dr. Wood up there. You know, he was always on call. Then later on, we got the point. But, well, let's put it this way, that personal thing.
When did Mary Bohack come there?
Well, I think it was the third year that I was up there.
About 51 then, 52?
Something like that, 53 or something like that, yeah. Because she's known as the junior coffee shop on Market Street. And I was talking to Don Gardner one day. The wife was working with him. I think one maybe 52. And she called me up and she said, Joe, she said, I got a woman here that's looking for a job, you know. And at that time, that's what sent her down. Well, when she came down, and naturally her English wasn't, you know,
yep.
I stopped her and then I back checked her and I talked to a lot of fellows who teach the restaurant. And I found out that her husband was kind of a nonchalant guy, like a fed off and stuff, and was paid his business, and she needed a job. And I can't be just a fellow, so I said, fine, so I want to have an interview with David. So Paul wasn't too impressed with it, so I argued on it. I found out that he got the reference. Well, he says, go ahead and take it, but you don't forget it's your responsibility. Well, when I went up there, of course, I had difficulty because I had, what's his name, one of the fellows that was a steward. I'll never forget that. I can't think of his name.
Todd?
No. Todd's the name of that. This fellow's father was a fireman. He was a steward, and she was ready to serve meals, and he said, you don't do anything until I tell you to. And then she started crying to you, but well, I won't do anything. But after the first couple of meals, man, it was great. And see, when I first went up there, they had what they call bug juice. And they were only allowed to have one glass of milk up there. Well, we went to play Erie Lance, the A-camp softball. So at the end of the game, they came out with a whole wheelbarrow full of milk. And I said, so in Jesus, I said, where are you getting all the milk? It's just in the government, you know. So coming back, this is the way I came back and found out that the government was subsidizing camp. So he came back and told Mr. Davies, and he said, oh, no way, you don't want to part of the government, you know. And he said, you couldn't get it anyhow because he said, we're in a high organization. Well, I went back to Erie and talked to the guys. They went down to Newcastle. The guy that's responsible for it, and here is one of the fellows I used to play against in basketball in North Korea. He said, well, certainly, you know, now he wasn't doing me any favor, but he said we were eligible. Well, we used to get 20 gallons and 25 gallons of milk. We boosted up to 100. Well, you know, you used to swim with milk. And then
sure.
Beside that, we got flour, meat. And in retaliation, I used to have Mary Bohack every Sunday or something like that, every second week. It's a, and dozen donuts are better. And I pack them in a box and take it down to Newcastle to the government place. And give it to all employees, you know, just to at least get all the butter and cheese and stuff. And we did that thing with the camp down below, that big camp. And then to get the Catholics up there, that's another nice story. And some of the Catholic priests come up there and no way that this guy walks.
You mean to give sermons or?
Yeah, or yeah.
Mass on Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even come up and visit the place. And no way. So.
Why not? Why wouldn't he come up?
The bishop says no.
Okay.
At that time, you know, it was a big thing if you went to the YMCA.
Okay.
And so I went down to St. Mary's Church down at the, and I talked to the priest, he's a white person, he should be glad to. Of course, he came up there and he was a pamphlet. He said, come up here. The world was here to be the CA, you know, with the word camp. The word camp, and then they had no more with you, you know. On Sunday morning, well, I remember that in the year before. Well, in the meantime, every Sunday they go in, Mary Boak had sent a bunch of donuts in to the priest and the nun. And they wouldn't even take money for gas, you know. But then we just give them a, donation. And I'm reminiscing now. I don't know if you want this stuff.
Sure, that's what I want to hear.
And from there on, why camp started to grow. And I think there's only about 100 and some. And that was, we didn't even have girls up there. I think it was the first year.
It was so much.